This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for your tailgate now at Brewers Outlet. Again, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. In our business, he is a legend, and I'm proud to call him friend, and that is Lauren Tate, Champaign News Gazette, and also part of the Illini Network. Lauren, how are you? Doing well?
I'm hanging in. Just like the Illini, hanging in until the next game.
Well, this is a 4-0 start. Illini basketball excites the populace. Deep run, elite eights, things like that. Illini football fights for every inch with the fan base. What has this 4-0 start meant to the fan base in Champaign-Urbana and in the state?
Well, they seem to be a little more inspired. We had a good start in 2 years ago, in 22, and that kind of fizzled with a couple of losses to Michigan State and Purdue at home that were expected wins, after the Illini had gotten off to a 7-1 start. So then they went backwards last year, and this year we've kind of put things together. Two main reasons that I see are the second-year quarterback, having Lou Altmyer back from last year and having the same coordinator with him, and then the fact that the secondary has matured this year. We had a lot of injuries last year, and believe it or not, we've gone through four games. I don't think we have a single guy missing from the game going into the Penn State game. We lost Rusk, our tight end, before the season, but I think the fans have kind of caught on, and the Michigan game, being the 100th anniversary of Red Grange, has been an awful big incentive for the fans to get involved this year.
Right, and that'll be later in the year. Altmyer last year had some good moments, some down moments. He threw touchdown passes, but he also threw interceptions. This year, 10 touchdowns, no interceptions. What have you seen? And I know Barry does a good job of calling things. I've got that part. But what are you seeing from Altmyer that has made him better on the field?
Well, I think he's just being more careful. I mean, the Penn State game last year was his low point. He had four interceptions in that game, and Penn State controlled the football game. And so, there wasn't much to say about it. It was just a bad game for the Illini, and Penn State dominated. But after that, he played much better. And although he was replaced with an injury late in the season, and John Paddock came in and did such a good job that Paddock actually finished the season. But I think Altmyer has gained a lot of maturity over the year. And I did some research on the last 14 Illinois quarterbacks who played the second year. All but two, 12 of the 14, had much better seasons the second year. I think that 1 year of experience makes all the difference.
And he has receivers. Pat Bryant's been really good. And then getting Franklin to come over from Ole Miss, what has that meant along with the tight end Arkin?
Well, you got to remember that Lunny was the coach in San Antonio, Texas San Antonio, the two of them had combined for some really good pass offense. As a matter of fact, they beat Illinois up here before Lunny took the job here as offensive coordinator. So this is third year for Lunny as offensive coordinator, and I think he's gotten better and better. And I think he, in bringing Franklin with him, he spent a year at Ole Miss, but he just redshirted there last year.
Right.
And now this is his senior year, fifth year. And he's been a big boost to the team along with Bryant. We got a good 1-2 punch in those two receivers.
How have you felt about the play of the offensive line in A, protecting Allmeyer, and B, generating a running game?
Average. I'd say it's average. Even in the Nebraska game, he was forced to run a lot. He actually ran 10 times for 21 yards, mainly just being chased. And he had some problems. He was 21 out of 27, but he had to throw several away. He completed the ball almost every time he threw it when he was throwing to a receiver. He did have two drops, and then he had about three thrown out of bounds. So you can see that when you go 21 out of 27, that's a high completion percentage when he had to throw some away.
The running backs, four of them are used. Everybody knows the big man, McCray, who made the one-handed catch, but he's also like a bulldozer out there. And Fagan looks like he's got a lot to him. How have you felt about the four running backs?
I think we got four good average running backs. None of them have. This is not Chase Brown, which we had a couple years ago, you'll remember. He was a really quality runner. And they're just alternating these four. I think what's happened this year more than any that I've seen is that Bielema's trying to keep his team fresh. He's doing a lot of substituting on defense. He's moving the cornerbacks in and out. He's moving the linebackers in and out. And also he's got three good defensive ends at two positions that he's moving in and out. And I think the running back situation, he used all four of them in the game. And, he just alternates and keeps everybody fresh. It's kind of a new approach, I think, for him.
What makes Xavier Scott a quality defensive player on the back end?
Well, I think his instincts and his ability to – he's got speed, and he's been able to – he's been on the team a couple of years, and I think he was a good player last year, but, when he wasn't injured. And the whole thing about the secondary last year was the injuries. I mean, we really had problems that way. So far this year, the top six cornerbacks are still – I'm sorry, the top six defensive backs – are all still healthy as far as we know, and I think they're ready to go against Penn State, and he'll alternate them in there, in and out, keeping everybody fresh.
Yeah, because Miles Scott has been very good. Not just Xavier Scott, but Miles Scott has been very good. And I think Torrey Cox, the transfer from Ohio University, who made that terrific interception against Nebraska, I know he's in his second year as well, and it looks like they have guys that can not only play the run but also are pretty good cover guys.
Pretty good cover. I think Cox had some troubles after that one steal, and they replaced him with Brooks, who was a transfer from Texas, former four-star player and one of our better transfers. And so, like I said, they've been alternating, and Cox has had his ups and his downs, and we've noticed some good plays that he's had, and also in some cases Nebraska tried to pick on him. So, he's only about 5'8", and he's not very tall, and but he's a fighter. But I think as we move along here, it's just whether this is going to work. I don't know. Although it's got three awfully big games coming up with Penn State and Michigan and Oregon, which they'll be big underdogs in all three. And, of course, they got Purdue in there as well. But in the next four games, this is a team that, and so far, all I can tell you is that we're in the best shape we could be going into this game.
After losing at Kansas last year and the way Illinois lost that game, was the win over Kansas this year an emotional hurdle they needed to clear?
Yeah, I think it was an emotional hurdle there at home, and then another emotional hurdle to win at Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska whipped us last year, too. And so Illinois has reversed two of those losses, and we'll try to do the third one Saturday night.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, the what about the pass rush? We referenced the deep five, deep six guys. What about the pass rush for Illinois?
We got a good pass rush from the outside rushers, not so much from the inside. You remember we had Newton last year and Randolph. Yeah. We had a really great pair of tackles turned pro. I mean, Newton turned pro. Randolph got cut by the Bears, but Newton is still playing. But and he'll have a long career. But we don't have much push from the inside. We have exceptional defensive ends. They call them outside linebackers, but their knuckles are down there. They're basically defensive ends. And Akis and Bryant and Coleman are the three guys, and they're all really good, experienced players and all pretty good rushers. And those three of them are playing the two positions, although sometimes they move Akis into tackle. But I don't know if you can do that against the teams with a good running game. I think it's need a little more beef in there, I'm afraid.
You go back to covering the Big Ten when they were, ironically, 10 teams. Then Penn State came in 31 years ago, and then it's Nebraska. I remember being on with you and with Brian Barnhart in, I think it was a basketball pregame show.
Yeah.
And Brian asked me.
We did a lot of them, didn't we?
we've done a lot of them. We're going to do another one on Saturday, I think. And Brian asked, we're asking everybody who we think the 12th team should be. And I said, Hawaii.
And that drew a big laugh. Even Ed Bond liked that.
I said, you have to think outside the box, man. I said, we get to go to Hawaii every couple of years for football. We get to go there every year for basketball. I said, what do you guys want to do? Bring in Duluth? I said, come on.
Crazy bringing in the four teams from the far west, I'm telling you.
Well, that's a
good trip when you go out when you leave Penn State and go out there.
I know, but that's what my question's leading to. Maryland and Rutgers excited nobody. Okay,
right.
I think that's a fair statement, and that includes people here. It may be a shorter trip for Penn State to go there. I got that, but it didn't excite anybody. How do you feel about the four West Coast schools coming in, Lauren, based on your experience of what you think the Big Ten should be?
Oh, I don't like it at all. I mean, you know, I'm old-fashioned, and I think it's crazy. I'm hoping we go to 24 teams and then divide up into six divisions, and then we'd be right back where we should be. You know, I believe in geographical contests. You know, I think we should be playing. We don't play Iowa this year. Now, that's crazy. Illinois should play Iowa every year. Illinois should play Wisconsin, but we don't play them this year. I mean, this kind of scheduling is just insanity as far as I'm concerned, but it's all about money. It's all about TV, and the TV people make the decisions. The original decision on Maryland was because Maryland's close to Washington, and they would have a big all those people would be going to Maryland games and watching Maryland games. And the same thing, Rutgers is right next to New York, so all those millions of New Yorkers would be. It's crazy. They don't care about Rutgers, and Washington doesn't care about Maryland. That's just the way it is.
Right. So let me at least bring the Penn State part into it. Penn State surprised a lot of people. And I talked, by the way, this summer, Stan Eikenberry was here in State College. I had a long talk with him about this. And, of course,
worked for him for 20 years. She was his speechwriter.
Yeah, a terrific guy.
Wonderful guy.
Yeah. But Penn State, he was the driving force to open the door for Penn State. Look, you're covering the Big Ten at the time. A, did you like the addition of Penn State, or were you against it? And how do you feel about it now, 31 years later?
Well, 31 years later, I feel good about it. At the time, I wasn't thrilled by it. I just felt like the Big Ten was going out of its area to do that. And I liked the numbers as they were, but I've learned to more than accept Penn State. And I feel like they're a great addition to the conference. I don't know how far you can go with this. You know, I wonder if Maryland doesn't feel like most of their their natural rivalries are right there in the ACC, aren't they?
Absolutely. Every time I go there, Lauren, every time I go there, I have people coming up to me saying, I wish we were in the ACC. Because they just missed the ACC days. Now, these are basketball fans. I'm not, you know. So that's where you really get a chance to talk to people is at a basketball game. And they miss playing Duke. They miss playing North Carolina, Virginia. I mean, they miss that.
Yeah. Well, I can understand it. I mean, I think that's just like I said. We should be playing our natural rival. We should be playing Iowa in football and Wisconsin in football. We don't play them. We should be playing, much as I hate to face them, Ohio State. We've had a long, great rivalry with Ohio State. Now, they've come to dominate, obviously, but Ohio State will bring out fans at Illinois that might not attend the game.
I'll ask you one last question. It does deal with the Red Grange game. The 100th anniversary of it. What plans does Illinois have around that to celebrate it, to make it special? Because they must have a long list of things they want to do.
You know, just everything you can imagine. All kinds of meetings, all kinds of tailgating is going to go on. It's the biggest game. I'm going to say maybe it's the biggest game since I've been here, in the sense that everybody's we've all gone back to the Red Grange period and know what he did in the game and the 39 points against a team that, you know, was throwing shutouts most of the time in that era. And it's just going to be a celebration. It's what it is. And, they worked for 3 or 4 years ahead of time to get this game scheduled to make sure, and now we're talking about, well, what time's the game going to be? Well, TV is going to decide. I wonder TV will decide. Or maybe Josh Whitman, the athletic director, has already talked to somebody there and maybe got the game at a preferable time. I don't know if they want to play it at night, but I would think probably late afternoon would be better.
How often did you talk with Russ Red Grange before he passed in 1991, and what kind of individual did he strike you as?
Oh, he was a tremendous individual. He was just the nicest man you ever met. Now, I did not have any personal... it was a business relationship. I mean, I did interview him every time he came to town, but, I'm saved 3 or 4 times total. That's all. And, he didn't come back to Illinois often at that point in his life. I think he was living in Florida at the end. And... I didn't get to know him really well, but I did have him. I was doing TV at the time, and I did interview him on television, had some, natural. I'm sure that a lot of people here felt like that. It was great to see him when he did come back. He's a terrific guy. By the way, I want to leave one thing with you.
Please.
Illinois has started 4-0 one time in 2011. Since 1951.
Wow.
You're still standing?
Wow.
At 72 years, we did it one time. This is the second time. 2011, we did it. 51, 2011, and this year. Is that unbelievable? Can you imagine what the Penn State football program would be like if you never won 4 in a row all those years?
Oh, boy.
Or, I'm talking about the first 4, of course.
Right, right.
Even our best championship teams lost the game early, or tied one early.
Crazy.
Back in the day.
Crazy.
Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible.
1951, I was a junior in college.
Wow. Unreal. Lauren, I know I'm going to be with you and Steve Kelly Saturday morning for a segment, so I'm looking forward to that. So... thanks so much for your time. As always, my friend, you are the best.
Well, it's always great to hear your voice. You know that. And Ed says hello.
Ed Bond. Ed Bond.
Talk to you later.
See you, Lauren. Bye-bye. Lauren Tate, Champaign News Gazette, and also the Illini Network. Second time since 1951 they've started 4-0? That's... remarkable. By the way, let me ask you something, Todd. How many yards in his career did Red Grange rush for at Illinois?
5,000.
Too high.
Oh. 3,000.
Too high.
1,000?
2,074 yards.
Wow.
He averaged 5.4 yards a carry. Now, he also threw for 575 yards in his career, but he also had 11 interceptions in his career as a defensive back. Okay. He had in his career 2,649 yards in total offense, which is, about 900 a season, and 33 touchdowns in his career.
The 33 touchdowns was a record at the time, wasn't it?
Yes.
So I thought.
Yeah, it was.
Was.
But of course, like, with that game against Michigan, did he score, six touchdowns?
I believe that's what it was.
Right? Well, that season, how many touchdowns do you think he scored?
11.
13.
Ah.
So he only had 7 other touchdowns the rest of the season. How about that? There's such lore around him. You know, and part of it was going to the Bears in 1925 and so forth. But he did not have, by today's standards and stats, he had to average, it makes it seem like he averaged, 9 yards a carry. How about 5.4 for his career?
It was also more like rugby back then at times.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yep, I know. All right. Wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third-row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $1,774. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles.
We're not done.
Lease an 80 MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner. And now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.